The Gist. We are back with our fifth overview of the Unraveled podcasts led by two chronic complex illness experts, Dr. Ruhoy and Dr. Kaufman. Check out the list at the top of the blog. This blog also covers Dr. Ruhoy's connective tissue talk at the Less Studied Pathologies, part of the NIH's Roadmap series on ME/CFS. See the video featured in the blog. Connective tissues are everywhere. They line the blood vessels, lymph system, lungs, and GI tract. They surround, protect, and keep in place our nerves, eyes, and other organs. They're also major components of our muscles, ligaments, tendons, cartilage, and bones, as well as the meninges and dura mater covering the brain. See blog for video. Because connective tissue is everywhere, connective tissue problems can potentially affect almost everything. Blood and lymph flows, gut functioning, neuroinflammation in the brain, muscle issues, inflammation, and spinal problems. The list goes on and on. Kaufman and Ruhoy believe the connective tissues problem they see in most of their patients are acquired. For example, they result from an infection or some other environmental outside insult that kicks off an inflammatory process that damages specific connective tissues. While joint hypermobility increases the risk of connective tissue disorders, most people with joint hypermobility are healthy. Many of Kaufman and Ruhoy's connective tissue disease patients exhibit joint hypermobility only in one tissue. Connective tissue problems in the brain and spine can cause high or low intracranial cerebral spinal fluid pressure. Cerebral spinal fluid leaks, craniocervical instability, Tarlov cysts, spinal stenosis, and more. These problems can ripple throughout the body, affecting the autonomic nervous, immune, and endocrine systems. Connective tissues have shown up intermittently over time in ME/CFS. Peter Rowe uncovered the presence of hypermobility and neuromuscular strain and showed that proper physical therapy can be helpful. Jeff Woods and Jen Brea's successful craniocervical instability surgery highlighted how devastating connective tissue damage to the ligaments that hold up the skull can be. A large Swedish study found high rates of intracranial hypertension, high cerebral spinal fluid blood pressure, and craniocervical abnormalities in ME/CFS and fibromyalgia. Several studies recently have also found evidence of connective tissue problems. Through a series of papers over the past 10 years, Hewlins and Higgins have been alerting researchers and doctors of the possible complications of connective tissue damage, such as intracranial hyperhypotension, cerebral spinal fluid leaks, Tarlov cysts, and empty cella syndrome. How big a role might connective tissue problems play in these diseases? Dr. Ruhoy said she thinks about connective tissue issues more than any other. While she has a handle on treating other common issues like POTS, gut issues, mast cells, etc., treating connective tissue problems is another matter. Physical therapy, keeping the body in alignment with a physical therapist competent in the kinds of issues found, like joint hypermobility, is a mainstay to reduce inflammation. If craniocervical instability, CCI, is present, using invasive traction to assess where a patient will benefit is a necessity. Not everyone with ME/CFS who has CSI will be helped by surgery. Both Ruhoy and Kaufman are big fans of GHK, a peptide that enhances collagen deposition, connective tissue, and is used for wound healing. Dr. Ruhoy warned, though, that for peptides to be effective, they must be freshly compounded, and that means a prescription. Ayurvedic medicine protocols can strengthen connective tissue by tamping down inflammation. On the nutrition front, there's the CUSAC protocol, which uses supplements to strengthen the connective tissue. improving mitochondrial health comes into play as well. Both doctors believe mitochondrial problems may be causing a lot of mischief. Not only do strong mitochondria help to tame inflammation, but damaged mitochondria can vastly increase it. Plenty of options to improve mitochondrial health exist. Zone 2 exercise, red light therapy, H5, intermittent fasting, oxaloacetate, and others. Ruhwa uses a mitochondrial cocktail to increase energy levels. Unfortunately, we didn't get the ingredients. I didn't get the impression that the results are spectacular, but treatments can help. A review of the Unraveled episode on the mitochondria is coming up. Low-dose rapamycin is an intriguing possibility. Kaufman said that a great deal of evidence suggests that rapamycin reduces inflammation and aging, and helps to vacuum clean up damaged cells, and he thought it might be an amazing drug for our patients. The evidence is limited, but it suggests that rapamycin may be able even to reverse connective tissue damage, the holy grail of connective tissue treatment. Check out Health Rising's blog on Cimarron's rapamycin trial and a doctor who recovered from ME/CFS using rapamycin in the blog. Dr. Ruhoy believes that ultimately stem cells may be the answer to repairing connective tissues. Calling stem cells the future of medicine, Dr. Ruhoy noted that a stem cell Mount Sinai study is getting underway. Connective tissues are a relatively new area of study in these diseases, but interest in them is rising rapidly. These two doctors are clearly at the tip of the spear when it comes to understanding and figuring out what to do with the connective tissues issues present. When better connective tissue treatments occur, they'll surely be the first to give them a try. After saying, "I think more about connective tissue than anything else," Dr. Ruhoy ended the Patreon session by saying, "We're on it."